Ginatuminandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chakshusmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Prakadamayam Dadati Sa Panantikam Manchakopadurvyascha Kripasindubayivaca Pritaram Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Prahlad Maharaj, after the death of his father Hiranyakashipu by the hands of Lord Nrisimhadev, was sent forward by Lord Brahma to try and pacify Lord Nrisimhadev because he was so angry. So he offered prayers, and we heard some of those prayers last week. In the first verses that he spoke, he explained the qualifications for satisfying the Lord through prayer. And basically they are humility and devotion. Without humility, there is no inspiration to take shelter of the Lord, because one who is proud thinks that no one is superior to him. And without devotion, there is no impetus to take shelter of the Lord, even if one has a low estimation of one's own capacity, seemingly humble. So both are required. Prahlad tried to request the Lord to give up his anger. He said that the Lord's purpose had already been fulfilled, and that one, or those rather, those whom he came to protect, the demigods, because way back in the early chapters of this canto, the demigods were fearful of the two embryos within the womb because they were causing darkness. So those embryos were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So the demigods became afraid. Or maybe that was in the third canto. This was when the great power of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, his austerities was causing so much trouble within the universe. And the demigods again became frightened, as they did when the darkness was caused by the two embryos while still in the womb. It was so powerful, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So the Lord spoke to them and told them that this demon, Hiranyakashipu, would be killed when he teases or gives trouble to the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. So that had actually happened. So Prahlad said, "You came to remove the anxiety, to protect and remove the anxiety of the demigods, and now they are fearful. So remove their fear as well." Prahlad then said, "The demigods are fearful of you, but I don't fear you." Hiranyakashipu is certainly awesomely terrible in the sense that he was ferocious, and there was his mane was sprinkled with blood. He was wearing a garland of intestines around his neck, and his roar was so tumultuous. So he was terrifying in that sense. Yet Prahlad said that he wasn't afraid at all of him, of Nrisimhadev, because he was a devotee. On the other hand, what did he fear? He feared that which everyone else is trying to enjoy. And what is that thing that he feared? The material world. The material world is actually a fearsome place. Very, very dangerous place. Extremely dangerous. And ultimately, everyone must die at the hands of the material world. Everyone. There is no exception. Everyone in the material world must die. So what a fearsome place. What a terrible place. So Prahlad says, I fear that. I fear being in the material world, and therefore I take shelter of you, your devotional service, because that is the only remedy for being in the material world, because that will take us out of the material world. If our devotion becomes mature, when it becomes mature, it will carry one outside of the material world. And how to gain that, Prahlad explained, in the association of devotees, to perform devotional service, liberated devotees, exalted devotees, advanced devotees, who are following a guru parampara. And this, Prahlad said, is the only thing that can actually protect one. It is natural to feel fear in the material world, but all the unnatural ways we attempt to remove the fear, as Prahlad has said, only cause more trouble than the actual problem that we were trying to solve. Only you, my dear Lord, can actually protect one. So now we're up to text 20. Prahlad explains. First he's going to explain that everyone is under you. He's turned to the Lord for protection, saying that no one can protect anyone else. Now he's explaining that everyone is under you, whether one acknowledges it or not. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone, from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ants, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are manifestations of you. In other words, all these elements that compose a human's life are nothing but the manifestation of the Lord's material energy. This isn't for the devotees. And that material energy that subjugates everyone, forces everyone to work, dictates to everyone, that being the material energy is under him. Under the Lord. We'll read all the verses. We'll read several verses. All the verses I had hoped to read today. And then we'll read purports. So everything is under the Lord. And therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus the mind entraps the living entities in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karmakanda, fruit of activities, and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet? So Prahlad is explaining, everything is under your control. The very nature of the material world, which through the expansion of the Lord, the Paramatma makes everything takes place. And the Paramatma, there are three Paramatmas. The Paramatma of the total material manifestation, and that is Karanadaksha Vishnu, the Paramatma or the Supersoul of the universe, that is Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and the Paramatma of every living entity, the Supersoul, also known as Kiradaksha Vishnu. So through the Lord's expansion, this material world comes about with the 16 elements. And he provides the subtle body, the mind, the chitta, the intelligence, the false ego, sukshma sarir, the subtle body. And the most important ingredient in that is the mind. And the mind is always grasping. Based on the false ego, it's grasping, accepting, rejecting, pushing, grasping in the material world. So who can become free from this entanglement? Prahlad says, unless he takes shelter of your lotus feet. This is all under your control. It is your energy. But you, dear Lord, Prahlad will explain in text 22, you are above all this. My dear Lord, O great, O supreme great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. So the Lord creates all this, including time, and he is above it all, not at all entangled. He is ajita, he is unconquerable. He never falls down into the material world. No one, nothing, no being can conquer him. Prahlad has just seen this, the most powerful person of the universe who had conquered all the demigods, was conquered in an instant. Hiranyakashipu, his father, he was an intimate observer. He was conquered in an instant by Lord Nisringadev. So no one, nothing can conquer you, Prahlad said. But for me, I am being crushed continuously by time, your energy. So please give me the remedial, curative measure for that, and give me the shelter, the protection of your lotus feet. 23. My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems. Prahlad has said, what I want the shelter of your lotus feet. People in general want elevation to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet, my father, who is so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities. From Lord Brahma down to the ant, as powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not want to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. So again, Prahlad doesn't want those things produced of the material world. He's experienced, he has seen, he has looked with his intelligence, he has analyzed, he hasn't grasped just with his mind. He has seen actually what is happening. He is not bewildered by the illusion caused by the tendency to want to enjoy. That illusion gives us so much, it covers the actual situation. So Prahlad says, I don't want that. What I do want is that you place me in touch with your servant, your pure devotee, and let me serve him. 25. In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. What happens when one chases a mirage of water into the desert? He dies. Of what? Of thirst, the very thing he was trying to get by going into the desert. Where is water in the desert? Or in other words, where is happiness in this material world? As for this body, what is its value? It is merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists, and politicians know this very well. But nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain. But because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion. But Prahlad says, I don't want this. Even the wise of this world become bewildered. Even that they know the nature of the world, that's what makes them wise. But still, nevertheless, because they cannot control their senses, they are caught with the world. But I don't want this. They don't come to the right conclusion, but I've reached the right conclusion, says Prahlad. And they are wise. And who am I? O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, I was born in a Sura family. I was born of Hiranyakashipu. What is my position? I have those qualities. And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered to Lord, even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. So I am so fallen, but yet, how does that speak for your causeless mercy? Causeless mercy means mercy that nothing one can do. One can do nothing to cause it to occur. And you have given me that mercy despite everything. And you gave me so much mercy because Lord Nisringadev placed his lotus hand upon Prahlad's head, and that gift, that benediction, that mercy was never shown to anyone. Brahma, Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, she was saying, how does that glorify your causeless mercy? Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable. Because of you, there is no conception of higher and lower. Because for you, there is no conception of higher and lower. So you have not done this by some type of discrimination. Oh, I'm going to give this to this one and I'm going to reject this one. I don't like this one, I like this one. No. You are neutral in that sense. You don't discriminate between friends and enemies. This was Prahlad's first proposition that got him into so much trouble, practically speaking. He said, I don't see friends and enemies. Hiranyakashipu and Sandinamarka were furious at him. Why? Because he was taking the side, according to Hiranyakashipu, of the enemy, of Lord Vishnu. Prahlad said, I don't see friends and enemies. So he is the devotee of the Lord. He doesn't see friends and enemies. The Lord doesn't see friends and enemies. But why does he benedict one person and give another reward, sometimes a reward that makes someone miserable? Why does he give that to another person? There's no conception of higher and lower. Nevertheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service. Exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desire and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. So according to one's desire, yayatam mambrapanyante tam stutavabhajamyam, Krishna reciprocates. He awards differently. It is not due to partiality. Yet you have been causelessly mercy to me. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, the Yamandakupam, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? I want to serve you, Lord, but my first duty is to serve Narada Muni, because it was he who pulled me out of the material world. Surishina Bhagavan Grihitam Soham Kitam Nubhishade Tavagritya Seva. My Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, then let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. So why has Lord Nisringadeva done what he has done? That verse explains, to prove true the words of Narada Muni. So we'll go back to the beginning of these verses. We started reading text 20 and read some of the purports in text 20. We'll read almost all the purports. Very powerful. Srila Prabhupada's purports. In text 20, Prahlad says, explains simply that everyone is under the Lord's control because everyone's under the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature, his energy. So everyone is ultimately controlled, albeit indirectly, by him. Prabhupada's purport. Whether one thinks himself protected by his parents, by the government, by some place, or by some other cause, everything is due to the various potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything that is done, whether in the higher, middle, or lower planetary systems, is due to the supervision or control of the Supreme Lord. It is therefore said, Karmana Daiva Naitrena Jantur Deho Papatteye. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul within the core of everyone's heart, gives inspiration for action according to one's mentality. All of these mentalities are merely facilities given by Krishna to the person acting. Bhagavad Gita therefore says, Mata Smitim Jnanam Apohanam Cha. Everyone works according to the inspiration given by the Super Soul. Because everyone has a different goal of life, everyone acts differently as guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one's desires and one's activities are under the control of the material modes of nature, and they are being prompted by the Super Soul, the permitter, the controller, Upadrashta, the overseer, Anumantacha, Bhokta Maheshwara, the master, the enjoyer, Maheshwara, the supreme control. Everything is under him directly through the Super Soul, because nothing can happen unless he permits it, and indirectly through his energies, the modes of material nature. So everyone, although acting differently, is still nevertheless guided indirectly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone is in ignorance of this. Everyone thinks I'm choosing to do this. But what's causing someone to choose that? There are so many causes behind. And if one traces those causes, like someone wants money, what is the cause? He lacks money. So what is the cause of his lacking money? There are so many causes behind that. Ultimately, one, it's his birth. Or the desires that he have are much more than the money that he has, the facility that he has. So all these things come back to the conditioning that he has, which comes back to his birth in the particular situation, in the particular country, in the particular body, in the particular family. And that's due to his karma. And who is giving him that karma? Who is awarding that karma to him? That is the Super Soul. So if one traces anything back far enough and ask enough, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Where did that come from? When we get to Sarva Karana Karanam Govinda, Krishna, the cause of all causes. Prabhupada's purport continues. The words Yasmin Yito Yarhi Yena Chayasya Yasmad indicate that all activities, whatever they may be, are but different features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them are created by the living entity and fulfilled by the mercy of the Lord. Although all such activities are none different from the Lord nevertheless directs Savadamam Prityajam Mamekam Saranam Vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. When we accept this direction from the Lord, we can actually become happy. So one may argue, well, if all my activities are coming from the Lord, then everything is perfect. Everything is under His control. But that type of indirect following the Lord through our own desire to enjoy, indirectly under the control of the modes of material nature, or directly under the controls of the modes, but indirectly under His control, is like someone saying that I'm in prison, and being in prison, which is under the control of the law of the land, is the same as being free, which is under the control of being the law of the law of the land. No. Very, very different, although there is an element of truth in that. Indirect control and direct control. So Krishna wants us to get free from the indirect control and come to His direct control, the control of His internal energy, free from the external energy by Savadamam Pratyaja. When we accept this direction from the Lord, we can actually become happy. As long as we are working according to our material senses, we are in material life. But as soon as we act according to the real transcendental direction of the Lord, our position is spiritual. The activities of bhakti, devotional service, are directly under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narada Pancharatra states, Savopadi vinirmuktam tatparadvena nimalam vishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktu chate. When one gives up materially designated positions and works directly under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's spiritual life is revived. This is described as saropena avastiti, being situated in one's original constitutional position. This is the real description of mukti, or liberation from material bondage. So everyone is under the control of the Lord. That second verse we read tonight, 21, explains how the mind, although created by the Lord, entangles one. And because it is created by Him, only He can free us. We'll read part of Prabhupada's purport. Two parts. First, middle or a third of the way down the first paragraph, maybe a quarter. As further confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharan. Without the direction of the Supreme Lord, material nature cannot do anything. So yes, the material nature is under His control. It cannot act independently. Therefore, in the beginning, the living entity wanted to enjoy the material nature and to give the living entity all facility. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, created this material world and gave the living entity the facility to concoct different ideas and plans through the mind. These facilities offered by the Lord to the living entity constitute the 16 kinds of perverted support in terms of the knowledge-giving senses, the working senses, the mind, and the 5 material senses. So the living entity desires, and through the mind and subtle body, then the gross body, which is composed of these different senses, working, knowledge acquiring, they work to attempt to enjoy. And then the final paragraph in this purport. The fallen conditioned living entity, trapped by the external energy, loiters in the material world. But if by good fortune, so struggling, trying to find some means to enjoy, loitering here. But if by good fortune he meets a bona fide representative of the Lord who gives him the seed of devotional service, and if he takes advantage of such a guru or representative of the Lord, he receives the bhakti lata bija, the seed of devotional service. If he properly cultivates Krishna consciousness, he is then gradually elevated to the spiritual world. The ultimate conclusion is that one must surrender to the principles of bhakti yoga. For then, one will gradually attain liberation. No other method of liberation from the material struggle is at all possible. So to get the Lord's control, He's the control of the mind in the material situation, therefore we surrender unto Him. But He Himself, as text 22 explains, is beyond matter, beyond time, beyond all its crushingness, the devastation that the material world ultimately wrecks upon everyone. And therefore Prahlad says that it is crushing me, and therefore I want to take shelter of you at your lotus feet. Prabhupada's purport. We'll read from part of it. In the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord, "But for your lordship, no one can save me." Prahlad Maharaj has also explained that a child's protectors, his parents, cannot save the child from the onslaught of birth and death. Nor can medicine and a physician save one from death. Nor can a boat or similar means of protection save a person drowning in the water. For everything is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, suffering humanity must surrender to Krishna, as Krishna himself demands in the last instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Savadamam Prityajamamekam Sharanam Brajaham Tam Savapapabhyo Mokshishami Masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. All of human society must take advantage of this offer and thus be saved by Krishna from the danger of being crushed by the wheel of time, the wheel of past, present, and future. The word nispidyamanam, being crushed, is very significant. Every living entity in the material condition is actually being crushed again and again. And to be saved from this position, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one will be happy. The word prapanam is also very significant, for unless one fully surrenders to the Supreme Lord, one cannot be saved from being crushed. A criminal is put in prison and punished by the government, but the same government, if he likes, can release the criminal from imprisoned life. Similarly, we must know conclusively that our material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we want to be saved from this suffering, we must appeal to the same controller. Thus, one can be saved from this material condition. Prahlad then, in text 23, explains that people generally want a material situation that they imagine is going to be pleasing to them. But Prahlad says, "I saw my father who had everything. But now, by you, in the form of time, even though he was so powerful, he has been finished in a moment." Prabhupada's purport. Within this material world, one should understand by practical experience the value of material opulence, longevity, and influence. We have actual experience that even on this planet there have been many great politicians and military commanders like Napoleon, Hitler, Subhas Chandra Bose, and Gandhi. But as soon as their lives were finished, the popularity, influence, and everything else were finished also. Prahlad Maharaj formerly gathered the same experience by seeing the activities of Hiranyakashipu, his great father. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not give any importance to anything in this material world. No one can maintain his body or material achievements forever. A Vaishnava can understand that nothing within this material world, not even that which is powerful, opulent, or influential, can endure. At any time, such things may be vanquished. And who can vanquish them? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should conclusively understand that no one is greater than the Supreme Great. Since the Supreme Great demands Sarvadamam Prityajam Mamekam Sharanam Braja, Prabhupada quotes this verse almost in every purport. This is the conclusion of what Prahlad is saying, each verse of what Prahlad is saying, that we should surrender. We should give ourselves to Krishna. Nothing else can protect us. And when something happens to us that we consider unfavorable, there are so many ways to look at it. One, we can point the finger. This person has done it. This group has done it to me. Another way to look at it is my karma has done it to me. I've done it to myself. And still another way to look at it, the ultimate way to look at it, is that Krishna has done it. For without Krishna's sanction, nothing can happen. So we balance all three of those at once in how we deal, and how, of course, we have to deal practically too. We don't, Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita, in one purport says, a devotee doesn't challenge the laws of material nature. He doesn't walk in front of a car that's moving very quickly and say, well, it can't hurt me unless Krishna allows it to hurt me. No, he acts practically, but yet he knows that nothing can happen, practically speaking, ultimately speaking, without Krishna's sanction. So Prahlad is bringing it to that point, to the ultimate point of Krishna. Therefore, the ultimate protection from material difficulty is not to retaliate against our enemy, not to try to perform ceremonies to alter our karma, but rather is to surrender to Krishna and place ourselves under his protection. Therefore, one should conclusively understand that no one is greater than the Supreme Great. Since the Supreme Great demands Savadamam Pratyajam Mamekam Sharanam Braja, every intelligent man must agree to this proposal. One must surrender unto the Lord to be saved from the wheel of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. If we change our karma, it won't free us from the material life. If we get even with our enemy, it won't free us from material life, from birth, death, old age, and disease. But if we take shelter of Krishna, that will. In the next verse, in 24, Prahlad explains his experience, and because of that experience, he doesn't want anything in the realm of the material world. What he does want, he wants something beyond the jurisdiction of time's power to destroy. He wants to be in touch with the Lord's pure devotee and the ability to serve him, to serve such a sincere servant, as a sincere servant. Read from Prabhupada's purport. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, every intelligent man can get experience like that of Prahlad Maharaj through the historical incidents mentioned in this great literature of spiritual knowledge. By following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, one should gain through experience that all material opulence is perishable at every moment. So one doesn't have to learn everything for himself. Hiranyakashipu had everything in the material world, and he was vanquished. Power, opulence, fame, everything, influence, control. So one might think, well, that was true for Hiranyakashipu, but I'll prove that I'll prevail over the material energy. But no, we cannot prevail over the material energy. Daivi Shagunamayi Mamamaya Dratya is empowered and powerful because of that. So therefore we should gain our experience, gain our intelligence, learn our lessons through the presentations of the Bhagavatam. Thorough experience, Prabhupada says. Material opulence is perishable at every moment. Even this body for which we try to inquire so many sensual pleasures may perish at any time. The soul, however, is eternal. Nahanyate hanyamani sharire. The soul is never vanquished, even when the body is destroyed. An intelligent man, therefore, should care for the happiness of the spirit soul, not of the body. Even if one receives a body with a long duration of life, like those of Lord Brahma and the other great demigods, it will also be destroyed. And therefore an intelligent man should be concerned with the imperishable soul. We cannot protect the body. We cannot kill the soul. Therefore, which should we be concerned with? This is the basic teaching of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna goes to great pains to explain this point again and again and again. The body is imperishable. Excuse me, it's perishable. Not only is it perishable, it's perishing. And not only is it perishing, imperishable. It must be perished. It must be perished. It must fall apart. It must turn back into the dust from which it was created. And the soul cannot be destroyed. It cannot be. Neither water weapons, nor fire weapons, nor wind weapons, nor any weapon can destroy the imperishable soul. Ajo nityam shashvatoryam purana nahanyate hanyamane sharire. There is no death for the imperishable soul. Therefore, the attention should be on doing what's best for the soul, for eternal, imperishable benefit. To save oneself, one must take shelter of a pure devotee, and this is the methodology. Narottama Das Thakur therefore says, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Paichi Keva. If one wants to save himself from material nature's onslaughts, which arise because of the material body, one must become Krishna conscious and try to fully understand Krishna. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Dibhyam Evam Yovati Tatvata. One should understand Krishna in truth, and this one can do only by serving a pure devotee. That means naiti mameti, janma, naiti mameti, no more birth in the material world. Thus Prahlad Maharaj prays that Lord Nisringadev place him in touch with a pure devotee and servant instead of awarding him material opulence. Every intelligent man within this material world must follow Prahlad Maharaj. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Prahlad Maharaj did not want to enjoy the estate left by his father. Rather, he wanted to become a servant of the servants, of the servant of the Lord. The illusory human civilization that perpetually endeavors for happiness through material advancement is rejected by Prahlad Maharaj and those who strictly follow in his footsteps. The last line of Prabhupada's purport here of 24 is, Prahlad Maharaj rejected them all, bhukti mukti siddhigami, all other perfections. He simply wanted to engage as an apprentice under the guidance of a pure devotee. The next verse, 25, explains that even wise persons do not reach the right conclusion due to their uncontrolled senses. Prabhupada's purport. There is a song in the Bengali language which states, maybe someone should write a rock and roll song like this, I constructed this home for happiness, but unfortunately there was a fire and everything has now been burnt to ashes. Do 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 ba da ba da da da. Big seller. This illustrates the nature of material happiness. Everyone knows it, but nonetheless one plans to hear or think something very pleasing. Unfortunately, all of one's plans are annihilated in due course of time. There were many politicians who planned empire, supremacy, and control of the world, but in due course of time, all their plans and empires, and even the politicians themselves, were vanquished. Everyone should take lessons from Prahlad Maharaj about how we are engaged in so-called temporary happiness through the bodily exercises for sense enjoyment. All of us repeatedly make plans which are all repeatedly frustrated. Therefore, one should stop such plan making. As one cannot stop a blazing fire by constantly pouring ghee upon it, one cannot satisfy oneself by increasing plans for sense enjoyment. The blazing fire is Bhava Mahadavagni, the forest fire of material existence. This forest fire occurs automatically without endeavor. We want to be happy in the material world, but this will never be possible. We shall simply increase the blazing fire of desires. A blazing fire of desires. That is what our attempt awards us with. Our desires simply increase. Our desires cannot be satisfied by illusory thoughts and plans, and therefore our misery increases as our desires increase. Rather, we have to follow the instructions of Lord Krishna. Sarvadamam prityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Then we shall be happy. Otherwise, in the name of happiness, we shall continue to suffer miserable conditions. Then Prahlad starts speaking about his fortune, how he has been blessed by the Lord, given blessings that no one else, even exalted personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi Devi, has achieved. Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj was surprised at the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. For although Prahlad was born in a demoniac family, and although the Lord had never before placed his lotus hand on the head of Brahma, Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, his constant companion, Lord Nisringadev kindly placed his hand on the head of Prahlad. This is the meaning of causeless mercy. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in the material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam Chayo Vibhacharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagaran Samatityaitan Brahmabhuyaya Kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So regardless of what situation one finds oneself in, and everyone is born into one situation or another, that means that everyone's situation is controlled by the modes of material nature. One configuration, one proportion of goodness, one proportion of passion, and one proportion, a proportionate amount of ignorance. Everyone has an individually proportioned out situation of the modes of material nature. But regardless of whatever situation one is in, it can be transcended. How? Mam chayo vibhacharena bhakti yogena sevate. By constant engagement in devotional service. Anyone who engages in continuous devotional service to the Lord is situated in the spiritual world and has nothing to do with the material qualities, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. Because Prahlad Maharaj was situated on the spiritual platform, he had nothing to do with his body, which had been born of the modes of passion and ignorance. The symptoms of passion and ignorance are described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19 as lust and hankering. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadeyas chaye. Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, thought the body born of his father to be born of passion and ignorance. But because Prahlad was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, his body did not belong to the material world. The pure Vaishnava's body is spiritualized even in this life. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes red hot and is no longer iron but fire. Similarly, the so-called material bodies of devotees who fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord, being constantly in the fire of spiritual life, have nothing to do with matter, but are spiritualized. The next verse, text 27. So Prahlad explains in this verse how the favor, the causeless mercy that he received was not due to partiality of the Lord. It's in reciprocation for service rendered. The Lord himself shows no partiality. This was the original question that Yudhisthira Maharaj, that not even before that, even before Yudhisthira Maharaj, that Parikshit Maharaj asked. He asked about the partiality of the Lord. And therefore, about Vrikasura in the sixth canto, the Lord took the side of Indra against Vrikasura, the demigods, against the demons. So is this partiality? Is this partiality? So this question of partiality was the question that led Sukadev Goswami to reply by telling the story of this pastime of Yudhisthira Maharaj speaking with Narada Muni. And as a result of that, because Yudhisthira Maharaj saw the soul of Sisupal, that when he was killed by the Lord, he entered into the Lord's body. So he was inquiring about that. How did he attain such an exalted destination when great Brahmavadis, they have such a difficult time attaining liberation? How did this demon, this demonic person, whose only qualification was that he blasphemed Krishna, how did he attain this exalted thing? Was this some kind of a benediction, special benediction upon him? So as a result of that, Narada Muni began telling Yudhisthira that this Sisupal was actually one of Jaya and Vijaya. So he started telling the story of Aranyakashipu being killed by Prahlad, showing how the Lord is impartial. Even when killing, he's benedicting. When he seems to be partial, he's partial to everyone. He benedicts everyone he deals with. Therefore, he is called the Param Satyam, the supreme good. Everything he does, everything he touches, all that occurs is good because he has done it. So in this verse, there's a direct answer by Prahlad Maharaj about the partiality. There's no conception of higher or lower. But he offers benedictions according to the level of one's service. So one person will get one thing according to his desires, and another person will get another thing according to his desires. But ultimately, everyone's is being benefited by the mercy of the Lord, according to their desires, though, and according to their karma. We'll read Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord clearly says, Yeyetam mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Sarupai Krishner Nityadas, every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. According to the service the living entity renders, he automatically receives benedictions from Krishna, who does not make distinctions, thinking here is a person in an intimate relationship with me and here is a person I dislike. Krishna advises everyone to surrender to him. Savadamam prityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Again, every purport practically Prabhupada gives us this advice, this instruction to surrender to Krishna. One's relationship with the Supreme Lord is in proportion to that surrender and the service one renders unto the Lord. Thus, throughout the entire world, the higher or lower positions of the living entities are selected by the living entities themselves. If one is inclined to dictate that the Lord grant something, one receives benedictions according to his desires. If one wants to be elevated to the higher planetary systems, the heavenly planets, he can be promoted to the place he desires. And if one wants to remain a hog or a pig on earth, the Lord fulfills that desire also. Therefore, one's position is determined by one's desires. The Lord is not responsible for the higher or lower grades of our existence. He fulfills the desires of everyone. But that doesn't mean I could sit back and say, I'm going to desire to be a billionaire in 5 minutes. And the Lord's business is to fulfill my desire. A billionaire, now it's 4 minutes and then 37 seconds. And then if it doesn't occur, I think that this principle is not true. But there are other principles involved also, that we have to deserve something. In other words, we have to perform the piety to gain that reward. according to the piety that we have accumulated, we will gain a certain reciprocation according to our desires. So one person will desire to be wealthy and become a billionaire, and another person will desire to be wealthy and become a millionaire, and still another person will win the lottery and gain $100 according to what they deserve. But yet, especially in Krishna consciousness, we want to make our desires just right. Just right. And if we desire strongly, and if we are humble, and if we try to become deserving, then Krishna, as He desires, will fulfill our desires, or place us in situations where we can increase our ability, our desires, and our qualifications to gain these spiritual desires. At the end of this purport, Prabhupada explains, but regardless, he explains that regardless of one's desires, one should worship Krishna, because the result of worshiping Krishna will that one will become purified, and ultimately one will be brought to Him. Because all desires ultimately culminate in Krishna consciousness, and that is the only thing that will satisfy the soul. Yatma supasidati. Okay. Two more purports from verses that we read, but we'll stop here. And if Krishna allows, tomorrow we'll read 28 and 29 purports. 28 is a very important one, a very, very famous verse as well. Evam janam na prapititam prabhavari kupam. Glorification of the commitment to. That Prahlada is saying his commitment to his spiritual master Narada Muni. And then we'll go on as well, if Krishna allows. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prahlada Maharaj ki jai, Narada Singh Dev ki jai, Jilu Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gopremanandi, Hari Hari Bol.